Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
So we've been studying on motivational gifts, and I was just motivated to try out the drums. So turn them up, man. Crank up the drums. I don't know what's going to happen here, but it's going to be good. All right, you go ahead and worship the Lord, sing your song, and I'll just come in.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Power! Don't turn it back! I think that's enough punishment for one morning. All right. So, you may be wondering, especially if you're a visitor, what is going on here? At least I didn't wear a dress like I did the one Sunday, right? Visitors are really wondering what was going on that day. So what's the point? The point is, just because you think something's cool doesn't mean you're gifted to do it. Amen? So I hope you'll remember that as we talk about motivational gifts this morning. Spiritual gifts can be a sensitive topic, and so that's why we've labored very slowly to roll it out and talk about it in steps. It's interesting that the enemy can use something like the gifts that God has given us to divide the church when the very point, Paul says, is to bring unity and help us build one another up. And so as we divided the gifts up according to the scriptures, there's motivational gifts. We also have the ministry gifts, and then we have the manifestation gifts. Last week, we started covering five of the motivational gifts, and we're going to cover, or four, I think, yeah. We're going to cover three more today, and I'm going to lay out a little more because some of the folks were like, man, this is really good stuff, but we need slides, you know, to kind of process it more and whatnot. So I want to go over a few things that are clear as you look at Corinthians, cover some scripture like we talked about last week, and I want you to listen with an ear to not only understand yourself and the gifts that God's motivated you with, because you usually have one, but also listen to learn about how God's gifted others and how we can show them grace and mercy, even though they're not just like us. Amen. I had a sweet lady come up after the first service, and she says, this is so good. I can't wait to go over this more with my husband, because I already can see things from this that will help us to understand and be more patient with each other because we're motivated differently. And some of the things I shared about some of the characteristics you hear about, that certain gifts can be misunderstood if you're motivated a certain way, that maybe you're stuck up or don't want to be around people, but that's a misunderstanding. So we're going to talk about that more. So let's start with our key scripture in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that your word does instruct us. Father, you know how much I've labored over really searching your scripture so that we base what we believe and what we do on your word, because we know that brings glory to you and it brings wholeness to us. Lord, we want people to be whole. God, that's why we're Christ community. We want to build that community of love and serving and caring for one another. And we know that you've equipped us to be able to do that. And we want to not neglect your gifts, but we want to use them in our lives to strengthen the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
All right. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So we've talked about when you're born again, you get a motivational gift from the Lord. And you may have one or two that are strong, but usually you have a dominant motivational gift that God gives you. We looked at prophecy, teaching, administration or organization, exhortation or encouraging last week, and today we're going to cover mercy, giving, and serving. But it's important to note a few things that we're clear on that's from the scripture. First of all, the body requires all of these gifts working together. Without one, we don't have the complete ministry of Jesus Christ in our midst. And so that's why it's important to discover what God's given you and to use it for his glory. You may have heard the testimony last week when Camille was here, and she mentioned how once she understood her spiritual gifts, that her dominant was really leading, teaching, and encouraging. So now every day she wakes up with a purpose. She said, remember that her glasses she puts on, she looks at every opportunity at work, whether it's play, recreation, whatever. How can I teach, lead, and encourage? So if we ask her, hey, would you be on the team to help raise money for, you know, some project or whatever, she might say, well, you know, I don't feel gifted to do that. That's not my area. I think you'd be better to find someone else, which is a big deal to know that, to know yourself, right? The more that you grow in Christ, remember, you may see yourself more well-rounded, because just because you don't have the gift of giving doesn't mean God doesn't want us to give to be like him, right? Just because you don't have the gift of mercy doesn't mean you can be mean to people, right? That seems obvious, right? But not to some people, right? Just because, let's say, you don't have the gift of servant leadership doesn't mean that you don't ever help serve at the church, right? You just might not be as motivated and as strengthened to do that as others. So let's look at Romans 12. I promise you we looked at some more scriptures today, because we definitely want to base what we believe and what we do on the scripture. This is the Amplified Version. I thought it was kind of nice how it elaborates. Romans 12, 5 through 8. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Let me just interject right there. When we see this example in Scripture of different parts of the body, it's easy because Paul says the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you, or the foot can't say to the ear, I don't need you. And he says, are all a foot, or all a hand, or all, you know, when he talks about that, are all eye and all that. Well, when we divide it up as Western Christians, it's easy to think that it's all about what part am I. That's just part of the puzzle, folks. It's not about just what part you are, but to realize that Paul gave the analogy of a body for a reason. Because a body is all coordinated and works together as one. The biggest part of this is separating the parts to understand what part and role you play, but then it's essential that you realize it's so you're part of the body of Christ. People say sometimes, like, well, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? The answer is, yeah, you really do. Why? Because the scripture makes it clear that you're part of the body of Christ. And if you don't ever come together to bless other people in the body, how can you really fulfill and walk out what it means to be a Christian? It just doesn't make sense. And so it's not a spiritual requirement that you got to go to church to be a Christian. The point is, if you are a Christian, you'll study his word, and his word tells you you're part of the body, and so you won't be off a hand off flopping on the ground. It wouldn't flop for long, would it? It's like cutting the head off a chicken. That thing might run around for a while, except for that one miracle chicken someone told me about that lived. Well, how long did it live, Mary, that chicken that cut his head off? Paul was telling me, the kids. Yeah, it's on the internet. It's got to be true. But for the majority, you cut the head off the chicken, it may run around a while, and I'll just encourage you that if you know people that aren't part of the body of Christ, you can explain that to them. Say, well, if you want to be like a chicken with your head cut off, you're only going to run around a little while, and then you're going to drop dead, right? It'd be like going to someone's house and opening the freezer, and there's a head in there. That'd be weird, right? Like a human head. You'd be like, that is weird. Well, that's what it's like when you're cut off from the body of Christ. So don't be a head in the freezer weirdo. Go to church, amen? All right. Verse 6. Having gifts, faculties, talents, or qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends, with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the motivational gifts that God has given to us. They flow through the Spirit and they motivate us. That's why we call them motivational gifts. The thing that you need to remember is it's not up to you to perform or do this on your own. The Holy Spirit gives you this gift. Your job is to surrender, which we'll look at here in the scriptures in a minute, surrender and be obedient to allow God to work through you. Amen? It says in John, I'm ahead of myself here. Look at this quote from Dr. Austin. It says, the body of Christ, now listen to this carefully, okay, this is good. The body of Christ and its function in unity and love and the possession and use of the spiritual gifts is inseparably bound up with the functioning of the church. Now think about what that's saying. It's what I was saying earlier. You can't be out on your own because God's gifted you to be a part of the body. And if you don't play your role in the body of Christ, you weaken the body of Christ. Now, that's kind of a tough way of saying it, and our mercy motive of people are saying, don't talk that way, right, to people. That's not nice, but it's true. I don't want you to be in a position, the reason I'm telling you the truth is I don't want you to be in a position where you weaken the body of Christ. Why? Because what's the point that we're even here? Why are we even on this earth? It's to bring glory to God the Father, to allow Jesus to be the head of the body, and for us as the body to bring hope and life and love to a hurting world. So the gifts that God gives us, they build us up as the church. Then when we're built up as the body, we go out and love the world. Does that make sense? I mean, really, it's a pretty good plan God has, if we could just follow it. Hallelujah. So the body is ministered to by Christ, and in turn, the body ministers to the world. God sees us as one body, the body of Christ. So I'm not one thing and you another. We are one together, just to reiterate that again. Okay? So what I was mentioning earlier is that you have been gifted by God to do what he's called you to do. Okay? So you'll notice that as we go through the rest of these gifts, and if you weren't here last week, you can listen to it online. But as we go through these, you'll hear characteristics even today before we do any inventories or anything. You'll be like, oh my gosh, that one's totally me. Once you know that, then you look for opportunities to say, God, use me in my gift to bring you glory. I mean, it's really that simple. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You've been appointed that you should go and bear fruit. Okay? Not be a fruit loop. Amen? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So we'll talk more about how to refine and operate in these gifts later. Okay, so everyone has something to do. Romans 12, 1 through 3. This is the verses that precede the verses that talk about the gifts earlier. And I think Paul gives us some practical rules of engagement, if you will, or some real practical steps that preface the gifts so that we know how to position our hearts. Later, we'll talk more about motivation, the ministry gifts and how the Lord brings those in our life, the gifts of manifestation gifts and how those come in our life. But this is a good text for showing us some key things, rules of engagement we can do to be open and receive all that God has for us. Amen? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the first thing Paul wants us to do is surrender. You present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, that's kind of weird, because when you think of sacrifice, you think of what? Death and killing. And so that's the old covenant. In the new covenant, a new and better covenant, we actually are still sacrificing or surrendering ourselves to the Lord, just like the lamb on the altar, but we get to live. Why? Because God has a new and better plan to live through us to bring his love to the world. That's exciting. That's something that's like exciting. You should be excited about that. Okay. So it says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is telling us right here, don't expect some big giant thank you for you just doing what God's called you to do, right? The Bible even says in the New Testament, why would you thank a servant for serving you? I mean, that's his job, right? So there's a sense here God's saying, this is your reasonable service. And in America, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to surrender, and we don't want anyone telling us what to do, right? But God is God. And I think if there's anyone in our life that ought to be able to tell us what to do, it ought to be God. And we should just be like the guy that said, you know, God is God and I'm not. And thank God for that. Amen? And do what he tells us to do. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how are we transformed? By renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind, the scripture tells us? By the washing of the water of the word. Another thing that is difficult to swallow is that if you call yourself a Christ follower, but you don't take time to read, study, and digest the scriptures, it's kind of like scratching your head, you know? Like, how does that make sense? It's like saying you're a gold miner, but you won't drive the truck to take the dirt to the place where they process it. And, you know, it's just like, what? Well, you say you're a gold miner, but you just sit in the truck all day, right? So I don't really think you're a gold miner. Well, I sit in the truck. Yeah. You sit in the truck, right? Okay, so you get the point. Amen? That's a good point, Pastor Chris. So, we need to renew our minds by the washing of the water of the Word. Because if we don't, we're not aware of spiritual gifts. We watch, what's that silly series about the vampires or whatever? I've never watched any of them, but what is it? All the young people were watching. It was like the rave.
Zombies?
No, zombies are bad too. What is it? Twilight, yeah. So if we don't spend time in the scriptures, we think supernatural powers are like Twilight. You know, I got a vampire power or whatever thing, you know. Seriously. And if we don't spend time in the scripture, realize that's just a counterfeit of what God gives us. We're missing the point of why we're here. And then you wonder why people at every age in life say, boy, I just wish I knew my purpose. I wish I knew why I was here. I don't feel like I've got any purpose. Well, then you have not opened your Bible and seen the good things that God has for you. Amen? I'm not saying you might not get discouraged once in a while, but you ought to be able to come back to the mirror of God's Word and say, I know exactly why I'm here. I know how I'm gifted. I know how God wants me to use it. And I'm going to go forward and do what God's called me to do in love and humility and patience and long-suffering, etc. Amen? Verse 3, for I say through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So the thing that definitely we see with this is that we need to cultivate a self-awareness and humility. Self-awareness causes you to realize what the scripture says when it says some gifts are more visible, like I'm up here every week teaching and preaching and pleading and hoping that someone's listening, amen? And other people might be the faithful like Roger, first service. He's at that door every Sunday greeting, you know, every Sunday. And, you know, you might not notice that until you know, realize, well, he's here every week, right? But the point of it is you don't see who prepares communion for us the first Sunday of communion. You don't see who does things behind the scenes. And so we have to be self-aware that our goal is to glorify God first. So it's not about what credit we get. Easy for me to say. I get the one of getting in front of people all the time, so, right? But I'm just saying you get the point that we cover each other because it doesn't matter what part you are. What matters is that you know what part you are, what you're not, and serve with joy. That becomes important later when you understand the difference between motivational gifts and ministry gifts. If you're motivated by a certain gift, but you don't have a ministry gift, then you're not called to govern, and we're going to look at that next week, so I'm not getting into that much, but you're not covered to govern and rule, if you will, the activities or the direction of the church. The ministry gifts are called to do that, okay? So it's important that you know the difference, and we'll get to that more next week. It'll all make sense by week 3 or 4 or 5 or however long it takes us. All right, so a big point I made last week that I want to make again is that knowing each other's talents or gifts gives us a better understanding of your brothers and sisters in the Lord and allows you to be more tolerant, loving, patient, and understanding. And you're going to see that a lot more as we look at these characteristics. So I just want to mention one more time here that when you fail to use your talent, you weaken the body of Christ. And there should be a maximum joy and minimum fatigue in exercising your gift. The word gift is charisma, and char means joy. So if you're not operating your gift, there'll be a heaviness, no real fruit bearing, etc. That's why it's important that you find your niche and do what you're called to do. Amen? All right, so let's pop to the guide. The guide I found, for those of you that are just here first time this week, I was praying and putting all this together, and then I find this guy that did a seminary class on motivational gifts. He's got a 60-page manual. I'm like, this is perfect, so we'll just teach from that, okay? So I'll make this available. It was Dr. Gene or whoever that was I had up there. I forget now.
Austin,
thank you. I don't know why I think Gene Austin, but anyway. So anyway, Dr. Austin, and I'll make that available, give you the link to that, because his 60 pages are much more extensive than we're going to do in the few more minutes this morning, amen? And last week we made it to page 32. So let's continue. Characteristics of the gift of mercy. Cheerfulness is a characteristic of this motive gift. This gift has compassion, understanding, and really cares if you hurt inwardly. The person with this gift will do all he can to alleviate the hurt. Mercy and peace are found together. The gift extends mercy, which brings peace, regardless of the reason. Mercy is God's attitude toward those in distress. I shared last week how Mariah saw me a week ago, and I had some paperwork out because I've got a VA benefit that helps pay for my kids' education, but it's running out and the bill's due, and I'm looking at it, and I was stressing, you know, this hip was hurting, and by the way, I'm having surgery tomorrow at 6:45. Praise the Lord, get that hip replaced. Yay, I'm so happy. But I was just really stressed. Well, the person with the gift of mercy is my daughter Mariah. She was able to see and read my facial expressions and intuition and know inwardly that I was in turmoil. She says, Dad, your face just looks like you're mad or angry at that paper. She said, you just need a hug, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I put it down. She gave me a big hug. And what do you think happened next? I felt peace. And that's a great example of using the gift God has given you all throughout your life. It's not a Sunday morning punch the time clock kind of thing. It's something that you live. It's something that you be. Something that you are. Amen? So let's look at some of the characteristics of the gift of mercy. The ability to fill an atmosphere of joy or distress in an individual or group. They can totally pick that up. Attraction to and an understanding of people who are in distress. A desire to remove hurts and bring healing to others. Now, this is something, that you, if this is your motivational gift, you don't have to work it up or try really hard. Okay? It just kind of flows naturally. A greater concern for mental distress than physical distress. An avoidance of firmness unless she sees how it will bring benefit. A sensitivity to words and actions which will hurt other people. Mariah's always telling me, Dad, I know sometimes you get kind of firm when you preach, but don't say anything mean unless you really have to because the Bible says to. She's so cute. Be careful what you say, Lord, you know, Daddy. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I will. They also have the ability to discern sincere motives in other people. They have an enjoyment and unity with those who are sensitive to the needs and feelings of others, and a closing of their spirit to those who are insincere or insensitive. Why? Because they're mercy motivated. Okay, so that's some of the characteristics of the gift of mercy. Let's look at some of the misunderstandings, because these are good. I've had people with the misunderstand because they're motivated mercy, and they've said, you know, sometimes people think I'm stuck up, but I'm really not stuck up. I don't know why they say that. Well, it would be easy for someone as the gift of mercy to appear that way because they guard their heart against insensitivities and things, so they seem maybe a little more to themselves. So misunderstandings. A, the avoidance of firmness may appear to be weakness and indecisiveness. Don't mistake that. People with the gift of mercy are not weak and indecisive. I can tell you that right now because I know a few personally. One's up here on the front row right here. Okay, so the sensitivity to the spirit and feelings of others may cause some to feel he or she is guided by emotions rather than logic. Misunderstanding. Attraction to an understanding of those who are in distress may be misinterpreted by those of the opposite sex. So what does that mean? For young people, we're in a lot of the first service, but let's say you're a girl and you have the gift of mercy, and there's a new guy at school and he's really in distress, and you, through your gift, care for him and let him know that God loves him or whatever. He could misinterpret that for you having feelings for him. And you got to know the difference, right? And that's why I have a shotgun, because my daughter. Okay, the sensitivity to words and actions which cause hurts may appear to be taking up another's offense. And we see that sometimes with that gift, a misunderstanding. The ability to detect insincere motives may cause some to feel he is hard to get to know. That's the part I mentioned earlier. So those are misunderstandings. So if you see yourself and that is your one of your gifts, then you should look for ways that you can be merciful to people, way you can alleviate their suffering and just be who God made you to be. I mean, this is not my top one, you can probably tell, but it's not my top one, but I've learned to develop that, you know, from the scripture, and I do care, no matter what you think. All right. The gift of giving. The motive gift of giving is one of giving of time, effort, money to the Lord. This is a supernatural gift. Although Satan will try very hard to hurt this gift, if the person possessing it will bind Satan and lose their money unto the gospel, God will surely honor him. Most Christians with this gift are blessed by God in a supernatural way to make money. And we've seen this over and over. It is the people with this gift of giving who become millionaires, and they have sheer pleasure in giving for giving's sake. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have the gift of giving if you're not a millionaire. So hang on, and we'll look at that more. Okay, so characteristics of the gift of giving. An ability to make wise purchases and investments. A desire to give quietly to effective projects or ministries. Remember, we talked about how the gift of giving likes someone with the gift of ministration because they know their money's going to go in the right place. That's another example of that. Attempt to use his giving as a motive to motivate others to give. So you've heard before maybe someone say, hey, I just want to challenge you. You know, I feel the Lord put on my heart to give $1,000. Anybody will join me in that? And you're like, huh, well, that's weird. No, I don't want to join you in that. I have $1,000 laying around, you know. But they do that because they want to see others join them in that gift, okay? An enjoyment in meeting needs without the pressure of appeals. A joy when his gift is answered an answer to a specific prayer. So have you ever been in a situation where the Lord moves on your heart and you say, you know, I just feel led to give you, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to give you $979. And I know that sounds kind of like a weird amount or whatever, but that's how I want to give you. And the person says, oh my gosh, just this morning, I was praying. I got a bill yesterday and I owe $979. No one could have known that but God. The giver's like, yes, you know, they love that, okay? And that's what God can do through his gifts if we'll allow him to. And think of this, folks. Sometimes you're like, well, how do you know if it's the Lord? Well, do you think the devil wants you giving away $979, right? Probably not. You think yourself as flesh wants to let go of $979? Probably not. In the scheme of things, if you think, I'd rather take a chance and it not be God than to not do it and it be the Lord. Amen? Steph and I felt led to do something even this morning, and she's like, sure, just give all of our money away, you know? And I was like, well, praise the Lord. Okay, I will. I hope you meant that. I love you, sweetheart. All right, this next one definitely appears here. A dependency on partner's counsel to confirm the amount of gift. We do that sometimes. I'll be like, honey, I feel like led to give to such and such family. They're going on a trip or whatever, and I just want you to pray and see what amount the Lord might put on your heart. And she'll come back and many times say the exact amount that I had, and we know then, let's do it. Amen? A concern that his gift be of high quality. This would be the person in Scripture that refers to what David said, that I will not give anything to the Lord that didn't cost me something. They're not going to give, like when the food drive comes around, I do not give hominy. Because everyone throws in hominy, and who the heck eats hominy, right? Put in something good like Kraft macaroni and cheese. Yeah, Steph says I do too. She just disguises it. I don't know what it is. So you get the point, right? You know, you give your best, amen, that you can. And so I've learned some of these things, even though that may or may not be my first motivational gift. And then a desire to feel a part of the work or person to whom he gives. That's why on our board, we had a member of the board that said, I really think we ought to give to missionaries that we know, that we can go visit, that we can actually see what they do, versus just giving to whoever that we don't know. Gift of giving, amen? All right, Abraham was an example of this in the Scriptures, and you can look at his story, but we, for time's sake, won't today. Other illustrations of this gift. Now, food and clothing is another way that a generous giver will give. They might not be a millionaire. Who knows why, all right? But maybe God just designed it that way, all right? But Luke 3:11 says, he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. That's a gift of giving. Sharing spiritual things, Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Sharing of oneself, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So, affectionately loving, longing for you, let me blow this up a little bit. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, we were just talking last night. I'd ask a few people that I knew might be in the rodeo, and they're like, no, we're not in this one, we're not in this one. And then at 2:51, a nameless person texted me and says, hey, I'm in the rodeo. It starts at 3. I'm like, really? 9 minutes. I was like, you dork, why didn't you tell me earlier? So even though he didn't tell us earlier, Steph finally found out. She hadn't showered yet for the day. She goes, well, I was going to adjust my bow and do some things, but I just so love to be with people and support them. Maybe I should just shower. And she was about to get in the shower, and she ironed her shirt. And then her son Isaac said, you know, Mom, in ministry, that's what we do all the time. We give to other people. And he says, you know, it might be good, you know, just to think about that. And you do that all the time. Friday night, matter of fact, we went to the Beauty and the Beast. The middle school did Beauty and the Beast, so we went to support Tanner and the Tanner family, Sierra, right, and Jordan. And it was really fun. I love Beauty and the Beast. I can so relate. Beauty and the Beast. I mean, come on, right? But I just love that movie, and it's really about love. But anyway, we do those things. So we just decided, you know what? We're going to shoot the bow. And so she adjusted her bow. We went out in the field. I got the dog thrower. The dog was fetching, and we just hung out together. And it was beautiful, amen? But that's another way that you can give, but you've got to know the boundaries also. And that's why it's important that when you have a motivational gift, you submit to those in the church that have the ministry gifts that we'll talk about next week so they can help you draw boundaries and help you not get burned out. That's why at Christ Community Church, I want things to be organized, not because I'm an organized freak. I mean, I've learned a lot from the military. I know it's important, but it's really because I care for you. And I want to be able to look at all the areas of ministry and make sure you're not involved in 10 of them and burning yourself out for Jesus. I mean, think about that, right? Is that what Jesus wants you to burn out and neglect your family to serve him? Well, not exactly. If they don't want to serve God, he says, yeah, if you don't love me more than your family, you're not worthy of me. But if they love God and you're together, your calling is to bring them nurturing, safety, security, and love, right? So you got to balance that. So, misunderstandings. The misunderstandings of the gift of giving is the need to deal with large sums of money may appear to be a focus on temporal values. That's a misunderstanding. The desire to increase the effectiveness of a ministry by his gift may appear as an attempt to control the work or the person. And it's not that they're trying to control it. It's just that what they're trying to do is make sure that what? It's given in excellence and the very best it can be. So that's a misunderstanding. The attempt to encourage others to give may appear as unnecessary pressure. So like, hey, we really should give, you know. Folks, if someone with that gift gets up and speaks to you, just know that Pastor Chris wants you to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do and to be obedient. So there's never any pressure. A lot of times when I invite people to serve in different areas, I write on there, no pressure. Because the last thing I want you to do is serve because Pastor Chris asked you. If God isn't asking you through me, don't do it. Just say no, right? It works for drugs, works for premarital sex, and it works for Pastor Chris. All right. The lack of response to pressure appeals may also appear to be a lack of generosity. And then the last misunderstanding is the personal frugality by which he lives may appear to friends and relatives as selfishness in not meeting their wants. But that person wants to be frugal because they want to be able to meet the needs and what God has them to do. Amen? So the last one this morning, before we wrap up, is the gift of serving. Now you notice on this slide I put minister, I put servant, serving, because the original Greek talks about being a minister. It's why we have our core value of servant leadership, because we believe that no matter what our motivational gift is, we're all called to serve, right? But the person with this gift has the gift of ministering. Those with the gift of serving work for Jesus with their deeds. So I just want to make something really clear up front. Jesus even said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in my name, you've given it to me. Don't you think for a minute that someone that's called to intercessory prayer and prays day and night is any more spiritual than you using your gift to give a cup of cold water to someone. And that's why we respect and love one another, because some may be called to pray more. We're all called to pray, right? But some are called to pray more. In the same way, you may have a gift that isn't as well seen as like giving a cup of cold water, but if you do it as unto the Lord, you build people up and you obey God, and that's all you're called to do, right? They're always get truly involved completely. They have the desire to meet the practical needs of others. Their interest lies in short-range goals. The Holy Spirit placed this gift high on the list because we need people to serve. Hallelujah. Okay, so some of the characteristics. The ability to recall specific likes and dislikes of people. So someone comes up and says, oh, a matter of fact, I had a real example. I guess I've mentioned at different times in services that I like movies. I like movies. So at Christmas time, I guess I've said it enough, that we had a couple folks that got us a bag with candy and popcorn in it, and a gift card or $100 or gift card one to go to the movies. And so, like, I am using that thing. We're still using it. If you go on $5 Tuesday, it's only $5, and now they give you each your own bag of popcorn. That is the Lord, I'm telling you right now, because I can put as much artery-clogging butter on mine as I want. She can eat hers plain. I mean, it's a match made in heaven, right? And we get to go more. But the person with serving will notice that I've said that when I don't even remember, wow, how did you know that? You know, and they're like, well, because we listen. I'm like, I'm glad somebody does. Hallelujah. All right. So another characteristic is the alertness to detect and meet practical needs, especially enjoys manual projects. The motivation to meet needs as quickly as possible, so they don't want to wait around. They have physical stamina to fulfill needs with disregard for weariness and the willingness to use personal funds to avoid delays. So the person that's serving is like, hey, can we get money for such and such? I'm like, well, if we do this and this, and they're like, you know what, forget it, I'll just go buy it myself, because they want to get it done. And anytime you want to buy something yourself, feel free to do it. We'll accept it, right? We had a situation the other day with someone that was a giver, and we were trying to find a big price for our auction. and we ended up getting the yurt, which was nice. One of the things was trying to find someone that would donate a hunt of some kind. So Randall Stoberl talked to some guys, and they were like, "Well, you know, I'm tied up, one guy was even like, "I don't mind giving one, but I don't want to give it on such short notice because then when it auctions for a lower price, that affects, you know, the value of my hunts and all that." And I said, "That's totally understandable." So Randall was like, "So I think I'll just buy one." And I mean, it's thousands of dollars. You know, "I'll just buy one." Well, he has a motivational gift of giving. But as his pastor, I know they've been working their rears off to buy this property and build a new house. So with my ministry gift, I said, "You know what? I don't think that's the best idea. Let's wait on that. God will provide something else. Keep your money. Don't buy a cougar hunt, you know what I mean, for us to auction or give away." Now, let me just preface by saying that is a miracle that I said that. And don't think that I'm going to say that to you when you want to do something for the church, because I'm probably not, okay? But in that case, that's how I felt led to do that, and that worked for good. Amen? So another characteristic, the desire to sense sincere appreciation and the ability to detect insincerity. They like to be thanked for what they do. The desire to complete a job with evidence of unexpected extra service, meaning that it went longer than they thought, but they were glad to put in the extra mile and do it. And involvement in a variety of activities without the ability to say no. So again, those with a ministry gift of ruling the church, okay, will tell this person, "Look, you're involved in a lot of places. I really think you ought to cut back on this or that and focus on this," right? So respect that. Know that if pastor or someone else came to you, it's because we love you and we don't want to see you burned out, right? A greater enjoyment of short-range goals without frustrations, and then a frustration when limitations are attached to jobs. Don't give me limitations. Help me to get it done, right? Ruth is a good example of that, if you remember the story of Ruth in the Bible. Let's look at some misunderstandings as we wrap up this morning. Misunderstandings of serving. Quickness in meeting needs may appear as being pushy. So they're not pushy, and you've got to learn that, especially in a role of a pastor. There's people that come up to me, and they're like, "Hey, we need to get this done. I'm going to go buy this, and I'm going to do this." And they're like, "Oh, sorry, is that okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's okay, go for it. You know, your release, go do it." And so you've got to know your place and be secure enough to realize and understand where someone's coming from. Or else if you're a director or coordinator of some ministry and a person comes to you like that, you may think they're trying to take your role or usurp your authority. They're not. They're just trying to fulfill the gift they're giving by God. Amen? So let them do it. Avoidance of red tape may result in excluding others from jobs. So at Christ Community, our goal is to build community. So I've told Stephanie, I said, "I don't want to see you over there by yourself painting at the church and doing jobs like that." I said, "I know it needs to be done, but we don't do anything as your pastors that we're not called to do beyond our main gifts if it's not building community and building relationships." So I said, "If you want to get some ladies to help you paint and you build community while you do it and love on each other, then you can go paint." You see the difference? And so the thing about the gift of serving is you don't want to wait. You're like, "I got the brush and the paint. I don't need no ladies. They'll talk so much, it'll take me three times as long to get it done." You know what I mean? And that's how you think. But that's not true. There are higher values than getting the door painted, right? It's building the body of Christ in community. So another misunderstanding is their disregard for personal needs may extend to their own family needs. You can't neglect your family to serve in the kingdom of God, right? Like I said before, you may, if you're in a situation where your husband doesn't serve the Lord or your wife doesn't serve the Lord, but you do, then there's a calling that you obey God and you serve and do what God's called you to do and pray for that person. But that's different. You know, when Jesus said, "If you don't love me more than your family or hate your brothers and sisters," you know, what he was saying in that is you've got to be completely sold out to the kingdom first. But if your whole family is sold out to the kingdom, you're called as a man and a wife to provide the needs for each other of safety, security, to bring emotional love and sexual fulfillment and all of those things to your marriage. So you can't be like the Pharisees that said, "Well, the money we were going to give to our family, we tithe that money." You can't do that. All right, you can't do that. All right, so misunderstanding. May react to others who do not detect and meet obvious needs. So again, why we need to be so patient and loving, right? Insistence on their serving may appear to be rejection of being served. So you can't hardly do anything for the person that has a ministry gift of serving. But sometimes you just have to tell them, "I'm going to do this, and if you don't let me give you this money or do this thing for you, you're robbing me of a blessing and you're weakening the body of Christ. If that won't put a guilt trip on you to receive the money, I don't know what will." Amen? So Those are some of the gifts. A few more misunderstandings. Desire to sense. Hang on a second. I got to blow this up. I need to bring my glasses. Desire to sense sincere appreciation may result in being easily hurt. So you got to care for these people and tell them thank you and that you love them. Meeting practical needs may be judged as a lack of interest in spiritual matters. That is not true. Covered that earlier about the cup of cold water, right? Their stamina may be interpreted as insensitivity or impatience with others helping. One of the moms came up and said, you know, I might have done that this week. We were putting in a yard at our house, the grass, and we needed to get it done. And so the kids were serving along, like, oh, Mom, can we take a break? And she said, is the yard completely done? No, Mom, then you can't take a break. Get to work, okay? Now, I understand there's some family projects that are family projects that, hey, I don't care what you're doing. The Coopers are all going to do this together, and we're going to get this done, right? But you also learn over time with your youngest being 15 and your oldest now married and 24 and all the different responsibilities and ministry in our family to say, hey, I really need to get this done. Would anyone like to help me? What's your schedule like? Can you do it? And that's more gracious because it acknowledges that, you know, my son may need to be prepping for worship. That's where he's gifted in more ways than one. Amen. And so it would be selfish and foolish of me to take of his time to do that, to go pull weeds or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And so you've got to balance that in your life and family and toward other people outside your family so you don't judge the mercy-motivated person, okay? You don't, as a serving person, become so focused on the goal that you're like, man, those weenies, they never do finish the job. You know what I mean? Wimps. You know, you see, we don't do that. Instead, we're like, well, I'm going to keep serving for the glory of God. And we use our gift to motivate other people to join us. Well, I'm going to keep doing it because we got to get this done, you know, and this is glorifying the Lord. Hey, if you need a break, get your drink of water, and if you want to join us again, we'd love to have you. You know, there's a balance there. So that's why we come back to realizing what we see in Corinthians chapter 12 speaks a lot about the gifts, but then listen to God in his wisdom, what he put next. Right after the gifts, which we've been talking about some, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That can be hard, amen? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts. And love always hopes. And love always perseveres, amen? Love never fails. Then he goes on to talk about prophecies and the things and how they'll be in part. And he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put off the ways of childhood and put them behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So a big part of this, folks, is discover your gifts and do what God calls you to do. Or else Paul's saying here, don't be like a child, not knowing who God has made you to be and what you're called to do. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you see God's wisdom in putting that in there? We start to discover our differences and how we're supposed to use those always to build others up. And when you're not, you know you've still got growth to do like we all do. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for discovering more about the motivational gifts. Lord, next week as we look at the ministry gifts and then the manifestation gifts in weeks to come, we just pray that you continue to keep us humble, to keep us open to what your word says, and truly being excited about being all that you've called us to be for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.